Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary, reflecting on a story about a bunch of donkeys. You can read this story in Numbers chapter 22 through 24. This is a story of three donkeys. Balak, the king, is the first. He believes that if he only spends enough money and if he hires the best prophet, then he can reverse God's blessing over Israel and protect his borders from a horde of invading refugees. Even when the prophet says this isn't possible, Balak persists. What a donkey! Balaam the prophet is a second, for he hears God's voice telling him to stay home. Yet when Balak's emissaries come back and ask him again to come with them, he gets grudging permission from God, and he heads off. But this annoys God, so God sends a messenger to stand in the road and to slow him down. The donkey sees the messenger, an angel with a flaming sword, and the donkey turns aside. Three times it turns, and three times Balaam beats his trusty old donkey. In exasperation, God speaks through the donkey. At last, Balaam recognizes that something is up. He sees God's messenger with the flaming sword, and he pauses. Just as Balaam was exasperated with his donkey, so now the messenger is exasperated with Balaam. What a donkey! The third donkey is, well, the donkey. This story is hilarious, but the story is also shocking. It should shock you, for Balaam the prophet is not Jewish. He's not an Israelite. Balaam is a seer, a pagan sorcerer, a diviner who reads omens. Yet for all that, when Israel's God speaks, Balaam listens. Balak's emissaries ask him to come with them, but Balaam hears God tell him to stay home, and so he stays home. Balak's emissaries return, and Balaam hears God sigh and say, "All right, on your way then, but do nothing without me." He heads off, and after a few false starts, he sees and obeys God's messenger in the road. And later, despite the pressure from Balak and all his noblemen to curse Israel, and despite offers of untold wealth to do so, and despite racing around the hilltops making sacrifices to Baal, he cannot and will not work against God's will. For we are told that Balaam is filled with God's Holy Spirit, and he sees Israel with Abraham's eyes, like grains of sand or stars in the sky. Balaam understands that God has a purpose for Israel. And so where Balak would have him curse, instead Balaam will only bless. And so this prophet of Baal, this foreigner, this pagan diviner of omens, is God's agent in the world. For unlike Balak, Balaam recognizes that God cannot be controlled, and Balaam performs God's main work, the business of blessing. Balaam is not alone. Often in the scriptures, the God of Israel speaks and acts through outsiders, and is recognized and worshipped by outsiders, that is, by people who are not Jewish. The foremother of King David is Ruth, a Moabite woman. According to God, the most blameless and upright person on earth is Job, a Gentile from the land of Uz. In the book of Jonah, Gentile sailors worship God, and it's not Jonah but the Ninevites who place absolute trust in God's message and God's compassion. Even the Babylonian army works towards God's purpose, according to Jeremiah. And there are many other examples in the Hebrew Bible. It's the same in the New Testament. Jesus was first acknowledged as king by foreign sorcerers, first named as Messiah by a Samaritan woman, and acclaimed as the Son of God by a Roman centurion who was stationed at the foot of the cross. The early conversions of Cornelius, the Ethiopian eunuch, and many others spread the gospel far and wide, well beyond Jewish circles. In other words, the God of Israel speaks through whomever and in whatever manner God chooses. God speaks through prophets of Yahweh, yes, but God also speaks through prophets of Baal. God speaks through Jesus, certainly, but God also speaks through a donkey, through a donkey. All too often, we Christians are donkeys. We try to stubbornly control God. We demand that God speaks to us in particular places or particular ways, using particular jargon or particular people, contexts which are familiar through people like us. And like Balak, we want God to work to our benefit, to condemn those whom we fear or with whom we disagree, to silence those who ask difficult questions or who reveal uncomfortable truths, to boot out any awkward strangers whom God has led into our midst. But the story of Balaam the pagan diviner should teach us a few things. One, God will not be limited to one congregation or one perspective or one faith movement or one denomination or even one religion. God is far, far bigger than this. And we do well to look for God's activity among all peoples of every perspective, of every faith, in every corner of the world. Two, God is not picky. God is not picky. God will speak through loyal prophets and pagan magicians. God will speak through wise people and absolute donkeys. God will speak through faithful churchgoers and articulate atheists. We do well to listen for God's voice whenever people speak, placing our trust not in outward displays of piety, but in evidence of spirit life as we weigh up people's words. 3. This story reminds us that God's main business is blessing. God's main business is blessing. And as much as we humans long for curses and will do almost anything to avoid loving, accepting, and reconciling with our neighbours and our enemies, this work is our core task too. As Jesus said, we are to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, and pray for those who abuse us. The Israelites were invading Balaam's homeland. They were invading his homeland. And he blessed them. He blessed them. Likewise, God calls us to bless both friend and enemy. And we do well, very well, to get in on this work. May God bless you all. May God bless you all. Amen. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you another time.